are welcome to the Rohi Word. You are about to be transformed by the power of God's Word through His servant, Pastor Emmanuel Mephel. Pastor Mephel is a teaching evangelist who preaches God's Word passionately with signs and wonders following. He serves as the founder and lead pastor of the Rohi Church, a Christ-centered, family-focused, and discipleship-driven ministry. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, let us hear the Word of God.
Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord, and please, you may take your seats. It's great to see you in church. It's very wonderful to see you in church on a Sunday morning like this. May God bless you for coming. You didn't hear me. I said, may God bless you for coming. Last week, I said to you that you must seek to be blessed. So when you hear God bless you, you must grab it. When you hear a man of God says, God bless you, you see, he's not saying that I will bless you, says God. If he said, I will bless you, maybe you shouldn't respect it that much because it's a man. But if he says, God bless you, you must receive it because it is God who is going to bless you. Amen. So I said, God bless you. Yeah. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless your marriage. God bless your finances. God bless your business. God bless your health. God bless your money. May God bless you. Amen. It's a blessing. I'm talking this morning, and I want to finish this series. This series, While the Earth Remains, I've had it for a long time. It's going to become a book, so you would have the book to read. Next year, like I said, the Lord spoke about it. And I'm also re-echoing what the Lord said, that we are going to break limits. Amen. I said we are going to break limits. Things that you have not done before, you will do it. Things you have not seen before, you will see it. Places you have not been before, you will go there. Where your voice has never been heard before, it will be heard. Where your foot has not stepped before, it will step. Where your hand has not gone, it will go. The money you have not touched, you will touch. The business you have not dreamt of doing, you will do. What you have not seen before, you will see. I said you will break limits. What hasn't happened in your marriage before, it will happen. What hasn't happened in your family before, it will happen. The house you have not lived in before, you will live in. The money you have not spent before, you will spend. The car you have not asked the price before, you would ask and you will buy. The places you have not traveled before, you will travel. And the things that you, the results you have not seen from your children, you will begin to see it. You are breaking limits in the name of Jesus. Next year, I have a very good feeling about next year. I said the same thing in 2019, and this year has not disappointed me. I said this year has not disappointed me. 2021 is not going to be a disappointment to you. Whatever comes, God will also come. I said whatever comes, God will also come. Whoever comes, God will also appear. COVID can come, but God will appear. Disease can come, but God will appear. But God will be there with us in 2021. Get ready. In your marriage, get ready. In your finances, get ready. In this ministry, get ready. In your business, get ready. Whatever you do, get ready. Because you are going to break limits. Don't allow the thing to take you by surprise. Now you have to call your friends. Like the man who God sat in his boat. Jesus sat in his boat, finished blessing the people, and then he said, cast your net. He cast his net, and the thing that he caught, the Bible says he could not handle it. So he had to now call his friends because his net was breaking, his boat was sinking, his life was shaky just because of the blessing. That is coming your way. You are going to break limits. You are going to break limits. You are going to break limits. Begin to make provision and get ready, because when you break limits, you will need people to help you to carry it. Get ready. When you get home, start planning. Start planning. When my house increases by this size, what am I going to do? When my finances increase by this size, what am I going to do? When my children increase by this number, what am I going to do? Are you hearing me? You are not only breaking limits in money, you will break limits in children too. You will have more babies. Amen. You may take your seats. Right, so I want to finish this While the Earth Remains, and then we'll turn it into a book and break limits with it next year. It's going to be heavy. Last week, I started talking about conquering the day, because the Bible says in Genesis 8:22, quickly, Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, our scripture for this is, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So day and night is something that will continue coming every day, every year, every month, every time, as long as you are alive, day and night will continue coming. So we said that the day and the night are not just darkness and light. There are certain periods of life. We talked about what your morning is. We talked about what your afternoon is. We talked about what your evening is. We talked about what day stands for and what the night stands for. I'm not going into it. We have it all recorded. You can go back and you'll find it. And then I said that, you know what? If you don't take care of the morning or your daytime, your night will be miserable. And many people are having miserable nights because they didn't take care of their day. When they had the opportunity to take care of the day, they forgot about it and they rather concentrated on doing other things that were not necessary. So the night came and they had nothing. May your night come and may you have something in the name of Jesus. I said, when the night of your life arrives, may you have something to share for your children. May you have something to share for your family. May you not be empty at night in the name of Jesus. So we started talking about what you can do to control the morning, what you can do to take hold and take charge of the morning. We looked at one person who took charge of the morning, for which reason he was able to have enough to share in the night. We talked about Genesis chapter 49 verse 27 quickly. Genesis 49, 27 to 33. I would like to read all. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey. So in the morning, you are supposed to be devouring your prey. In the morning, don't rest. You have rested too much. In the morning, don't rest. In the morning, up to age 50, don't rest. Up to age 60, don't rest. You like resting too much. Mupenda. You like to rest. Hey, today I have not rested. You have not rested. What have you done? Rest when you have some 100,000 Ghana cedis sitting in the account. That doesn't have an assignment. But till then, you can't rest. When you die, you sit in the grave, you will rest. I'm telling you, look, the people where they die, they bore for the grave inside. Charlie, with the bed, sir, what are we doing? You are alive. Let us see that you are alive by movement, by achieving, by accomplishing, by devouring. Tear things into pieces. You get a marriage, marry it properly. You get the business, do it properly. You get the ministry, do it properly. Don't rest. He's a ravenous wolf. In the morning, he shall devour. You don't devour resting. You don't devour relaxed. You are devouring. Have you seen a lion or a cat? A cat that has caught a rat that is trying to tear this rat into pieces. And he's doing it in a relaxed way, like the way you look for stones in rice. When people are looking for stones in beans and rice like that. And when I was growing up, my mother used to give me that assignment. I didn't like it at all. That was my job in the kitchen. They brought the beans. Come and sit down. Why didn't you buy proper beans? Is it my fault that I have to come and sit down? I just take one, two. There are no more stones. Then you are having the watch. Then you bite. Pow! Ima! I didn't see that one. I think it came in when you were boiling it. So the way you remove stones from beans and rice is not the same way you attack life. That's why you do it gently, slowly, coolly. But when you are attacking life, you don't do gently, slowly. You eat everything and spit out the one you don't want. So the opportunity comes. You are not now saying that, this one, I'm not so sure. This one. You eat all the ones you don't like. After it has entered your mouth, then you spit it out. Because you are not sure which one will work. If you are now going to sit down and say, let me check, somebody will just pick the other one and then you are there. I remember as a child when I was growing up, you know those balloons that they hang Christmas time, they hang some balloons and then they do jackpot or they do something. You pay something, you pick a number, then either you get a small balloon or a big one. I tried that one. What, try or luck? I tried that one several times. I wasn't winning. So one day when I just gave money, I won the whole thing. They said they don't sell the whole thing. I said, this thing I'll never win. I have tried. Just give me the whole thing. I realized that the big ones, the number is not inside. Wicked people. They are business people. Hey, you will buy, you will never. All the numbers will finish and that big one is still hanging there. So, how come? Oh, it'll be fire, but Nibakron will umpe. Sure. So me when I can, I say, just give me everything. That's how you attack life. You take everything. You go and take the ones you like from it. The ones you don't like, you leave it. But just take everything. When you get there, you devour. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey. And at night, he shall, when you are dividing, you relax. Now, have you seen how mothers are sharing food in the kitchen? Bring your bowl. Here. You too. Here. You are relaxed. You don't divide with anger, the anger that you used to acquire is not the same you used to divide. You divide coolly. You divide with wisdom. You divide gradually. Okay, you. This one, I think yours is smaller than this one. Okay, let's add one ladder to this one. Okay, yours is too much. Then you add this one. Yours is okay. But he's the firstborn. Add yours to him. You know, that's how you do it. But when you are grabbing, you don't grab this, the firstborn. This, okay. You grab 1 to 6. Room. You take it. Then when you take it and you look at this one, this one, I don't like it. I remember some people who came to our house. They're looking for shoes. They look at the thing. They take 1, 2, 3. Then they will try it. Okay, this one doesn't fit properly. Okay, I can put it down. Are you understanding me? It's not the time that you look at it. Let me see if it will fit. No. You pull all the 3. Then you wear. If it fits, then you put it. If it doesn't fit, you return it. Because I think we are about 6 people. We are all taking the thing. So we cannot just wait. You do your selection. If it doesn't work for you, then how? So he's just devour. And that's how you must live your life. Devour the ones you don't like, you release. But some of you are just CCC, C nanako, tata bonk, bonkuto, bonkuto, a mami, a pap, a bom bom. By the time you get bom bom, somebody has taken the fire, the plywood, the everything. You continue doing bom bom fire. Blue boy, how old are you? 1, 2, look at you jokers. You are doing business, you are doing blue boy. Continue. So you attack in the morning, you devour the prey, and then at night, you take your time and you divide the spoil. Verse 28, I'm going to 33. Continue. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them, and he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. According to each one's own blessing, he blessed them. Then he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. The man is ready. He knows that he's going. I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. Sure, this is the death of a blessed man. This one is the death of a man that has been blessed. It is not the death of a cursed man. When God blesses you, even when you are dying, you know it. And you organize your life properly before you get off. He says that I am to be gathered to my people. It means I am about to go. Bury me with my fathers in the cave. So the provision has been made already. That is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. Continue. Ooh, by heart, you get up and you have died. You have died. Then your children are now suffering. It will never happen to you in the name of Jesus. You just get up. No, you've had an accident. He's dead. What nonsense is that? May that never be your story in Jesus' name. That your father will be there. No, he receives a phone call. Or your children will receive a phone call. Oh, okoye wamba. You will come back. Okoye fana wamba. You come back. I remember a couple of years ago, there was somebody I knew very closely whose mother began to fall sick and the woman was about to die. This woman told me, the sister told me, hey, this woman cannot die now. I said, why? Hey, no, why are you then? How will we bury her? I said, look at this one. You must get to a point like this patriarch who has organized a cave for where he'll be buried. He said, I'm about to go. Bury me here with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. So they had actually even made provision. I see you at the age of 120. You would have made provision for your burial. You would have made provision for where they will put your casket. You would have made provision for the car that will carry your body. You would have made provision for even the money that will pay for you in the mortuary. At age 120, 130, when you are tired, you have accomplished so much. Your name is everywhere. When we put up your name, everybody knows you. And everybody, I'm talking about people you have touched, people you have blessed, people you have helped, people whose marriages have been touched by you, people whose children have been blessed by you. That shall be your story. At age 120, then you will make provision for all of this. Abraham, which Abraham bought. So his father bought this one. You too, buy something that your children, when they are about to die, they will say that, take me to that place that my father bought for the family. Don't let anybody remember you for failure. My father was a failure. It shall never be your story in Jesus' name. The devil is a liar, he's a wicked man, he's a bastard. My father is a failure. You will never be a failure. Not under this voice. Oh. Not under this voice. Not under this voice. Not under my watch. You will not be a failure unless you want to fail. Even if you want to fail by entering here, you have just made a mistake. You can't fail. I said you can't fail. as a possession for a burial place. You are struggling to buy land that you build on. They have bought land that they have built on. Abraham had over 300 soldiers in his house. They were living with him. 300 soldiers. When his nephew Lot was in trouble, he went with his army. Over 300 soldiers. Went to secure and save his boys. Even when you get one house help in your house, you shout, you scream, you're angry. You are a poor man, a poor woman. That's the reason why you are fighting with your house help over salt. I pray that God will deliver you from that level and put you at a place where you even lose count of the amount of salt in the house. Abba, this level must break. This level must change. I said 2021 will break the limits. Will break the limits. The people have bought land that they will bury their father, they will bury their children on. You have plot to even put your own house on, it's a problem. That shall not be your story. Continue, verse 31. I'm just encouraging you. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. Is it not nice to hear some of these things? Continue, verse 32. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. You must write the history. Nesty, you must write the history of the family. We bought this land from this person. We bought this land from this person. We acquired this one from this one. We bought it because of this. We bought it in 2021 for this purpose. We bought it. This one is supposed to be for a funeral site. This one is supposed to be for a house. This one is supposed to be for a hospital. We bought this one. Write it all down. Now, all you have is a quarter plot. But very soon, you will have 1 acre. You will have 5 acres. You will have 10 acres. Very soon, people will not talk to you about one plot, half plot, quarter plot again. They will be embarrassed. I'm telling you, people will stop looking at you and thinking that we only have plot. They won't talk to you about half plot, 1 acre, 2 acres, 1 hectare, 10 kilometers square. What size of land? 300 kilometers square. Hey, that shall be your story. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. It's as if he has timed himself. He knows that by the time I finish, I'm ready to go. I put my legs up on the bed and I'm gone. Oh, Father, let it be my story in Jesus' name. So the question I ask myself is that which personality in the Bible lived his life so well during the day that in the night he could share? And then I saw the same person that we are talking about. And so I said, God, give me lessons. How he conquered the day. How he conquered the day so that in the night he was fine. So I saw it in about 5 or 6 points. The first one was that he looked out for opportunities. If you want to be able to conquer your day and control the day of your time, look out for opportunities. There are opportunities coming to you every day and every time. Even when you are going somewhere and you miss the turn and you are lost on the way, look for opportunity. For all you know, God took you there for a purpose. Anytime I'm going somewhere and I get lost, I tell my wife that no, we are not lost. Just be attentive. Maybe God is showing us something that we must see. But me, I live for opportunity. Otherwise, how will I eat? I must get an opportunity. Somebody must give me something. A door must open. I must see something. God must show me something. I cannot walk around with my eyes closed. You know how to do nice banku. All you do is for people to come and eat your banku in the house. And they eat, they drink water, and then you say bye-bye. When are you coming again? Next week, eh? Next week, I'll even add nane to the banku. It will be very nice. Why don't you tell them that? Look, this banku, I can package it for you. Every week, I can package it. It's just 6 balls of banku, 5 fish, and then green pepper, and then black pepper. I'll package it. That whole package is 150 Ghana or 120 Ghana. And I'm sure with 60 Ghana, you can make something like that. You package it nicely. 1 week, they come and pick it. Especially the bachelors. They pick it. They take it to their house, put it in their fridge. 1 week, they are eating their banku. You add banku, one small rice, one small this, 200 Ghana cedis, 150 Ghana cedis. And they will buy. Don't just, I know how to cook. As for me there, look, end of the month, that's the time I'll be paid. When they pay me, you visit me at that time. You will see. The food is juicy. You see the. You see how the okro is like, that's what you like. The okro. What they want to sell, ram okro. It can follow you like telephone wire. You don't know that your money is the one that is going like telephone wire. Instead of telling the person that the thicker the okro, the thicker the money. You want slim okro, bring slim money. You want thick okro, bring thick money. And let me take care of you. These boys, they will never propose to you. They only come to your house, they come and eat and go. Come and tell them, stop coming to my house. If you want food, order it, we'll deliver, you pay. That nonsense must stop. They are just eating the food. You think that they will propose. You have done that 1 year. The boy didn't propose. Another boy has started. Another joker will come and start again. They will eat 3 years. By the time you see 4 years, you have been cooking for foolish boys. You have not bought land. And God didn't bring them to you for proposal. God brought them to you for money making. It's not every big head that you see that is for proposal. Every time you are looking out, hey, won't he propose? He will not propose. Sell food to him. Sell clothing to him. Sell something to him. He's not a husband material. He's a client. When you see a husband, can't you see? When you see a husband, you will see. When you see a client, you will see. They are not the same. You see a wife, you will see. You see a client, you will see. People are just converting clients to wives and clients to husbands. God brings them to you. They carry money. Do business. In the business, marriage comes, we say glory to God. But first thing, see the opportunity. Then number two, I said, seek to be blessed. Then number three, I started this morning, I said, be guided by your father's words. I'm going to number four. Number four, Genesis 28:17. Genesis chapter 28, verse 17. I want to finish this today. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is somebody whose life was in danger. He was under attack. People are chasing him. And yet he had a dream. And when he woke up from the dream, he said, this is a wonderful place. It's an awesome place. It is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. It's none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. Verse 18. Then Jacob arose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. Verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that place, of that city, had been Luz previously. What you must understand from here is that the man was God conscious. He was God conscious. He lived every day of his life with God in his mind, to the extent where some of you, when you have a dream like that, you immediately think that, which people were coming and going? It will not even cross your mind that after such a dream, let me raise an altar. Let me raise an altar. Some of you listen to messages, heavy messages that will change your life. After such a message, you must raise an altar. How do you raise an altar? You put a very big seed or a small seed, depending on where you are coming from, and then you put it down that this is the word of God. I honor this word with a seed because I want it to happen in my life. The guy is God conscious. Number four, become God conscious. Be God conscious. Be God conscious. Be God conscious. Live your life knowing that God is with you. God is around you. You wake up from a dream. Think about God. Think about God. Go back to verse 17 again. He woke up from the dream. He saw the dream where angels were coming and going. Things were happening. He said he was afraid. How awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? When you have a dream and you wake up, what do you do? Hey, and then die so crying here. And then that you won't even pray. You won't even pray. You have never woken up and prayed about your dream before. You have never woken up and tried to remember your dream before. If you read the Bible a lot and you read it well, you realize that a lot of people's lives were made or unmade by the dreams they had. Some understood their dreams and it helped them. Some misunderstood their dream and it messed them up. But you must desire to understand your dreams. Become God conscious. You want to be able to conquer your day. Become very, very God conscious. Become God conscious. Become a Christian at heart. Become a God chaser at heart. When you have a sense or a certain inkling that God is in the place, connect well. Connect well. Connect well. When you are praying and you feel the presence, that's the time you connect. That's not the time you run away. When you are worshiping and you feel the presence, that's the time you must connect. Become God conscious. Become God conscious. We are too man conscious, too physically conscious, too earthly conscious, that even when the presence of God comes, we don't sense it, we don't feel it. We are too physical. Become God conscious. Become spiritual. Become connected to heaven. So he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Meanwhile, this guy was sleeping in the wilderness with his head on a pillow that is from a stone. He slept on a stone. He slept on a stone. It is not only comfortable places that is God present. Are you understanding me? Sometimes your difficulty that you are going through, your stress you are going through, could actually be the presence of God. Sometimes the wahala you see is the presence. God is manifesting himself in the wahala, and you must see God in there. You must see God in there. So this man was in the wilderness, struggling to find a place to sleep, got a stone, put his head on it, the pillar. He slept on it. He turned the pillar into a pillow. He woke up and said, Kai, God was in this place. God is in this place. He said, this is an awesome place. It's none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. This is the gate of heaven. Can you ever look at your marriage that is turbulent and say, this is the gate of heaven? Can you look at your business that is shaking and say, this is the gate of heaven? Can you look at the relationship that is struggling and say, this is the gate of heaven? Can you connect God to your issues sometimes? Can you? Will you? Sometimes you must try and bring God into the picture. He actually brought God. Look, God could have showed him a dream and walked away. All God had to do was just manifest in a dream and walk away. But this guy took it to the next level. Verse 18. He said, then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He now brought the presence of God. God only just passed. God only just gave him a dream. God only just showed him something. He could have overlooked it. And many of us overlook it when God shows us a dream, a vision, a word, a message. We overlook it. But he took it to the next step. Sometimes your pastor will come and give you some advice that God is speaking to you, that you must start an RCF in your house. But because you are so earthly conscious and you don't have any God consciousness in you, you will not take it to the next level where you actually carry that word and set it up in your house as a pillar and pour oil on it for God's presence to manifest in your house. When God manifests in your house, you have no idea the kind of breakthroughs that you see. But because you don't understand what we mean by God consciousness or God chasing or God advancement, you don't also qualify to even carry the presence. I can only come and tell you that it looks like you have a space for 10 people in front of your house. Why don't you start an RCF? Hey, that is it. I won't even come to church again. But the smart ones who understand the things of God, who believe in God consciousness, who understand that God will only give you an introduction, you have to now bring him in. He says that, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. I will show you something, but then you have to now take the step of drawing nigh before I draw nigh unto you. So he showed Jacob this vision. He saw a dream, and in the dream he saw things happening spiritually. He woke up and he said that this one is God. This is the hand of God. When will you see a dream and believe that is the hand of God and do something for the hand of God to really manifest? He rose early, took that stone which he had used for his pillow, set it up as a pillar, poured oil on top of it. Verse 19. And then he made a declaration. He made a declaration. He called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. And it was just a stone. This is the house of God. When will you call your house the house of God? When will you call your house and draw the presence of God into your house? When will you change the way you think about things of life and things on this earth and begin to be connected to God so that you draw God into your affairs, draw God into your business, draw God into your family, draw God into your marriage? The reason why his life began to change was because he drew God. If you want to control and conquer your day, as you devour the day, so that you divide in the night, become a little more God conscious than you are now. Become God conscious. How is God playing a role in your business? How is God playing a role in your ministry? How is God playing a role in your marriage? What is God's real role in your business? What is his role in your marriage? What is his role in your finances? You are not God conscious. If you are God conscious, you will not struggle to pay your tithes. God conscious people don't struggle to pay their tithes because they know that it is God that made it possible anyway. They don't struggle to give offerings. They don't struggle to pay pledges. They don't struggle to help other people. They don't struggle to give to other people. They don't struggle to acknowledge God in the things that they are doing. But because we are not so God conscious, everything when it comes to giving to God, sacrificing for God, spending time for God, spending anything for God, hey, Charlie, this one, it will affect me too much. So I can't do it. It affects me too much. Go to verse 22 of the same chapter. Verse 22. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. This stone shall be God's house. The guy is too God conscious. This stone shall be God's house. Which stone in your house represents God's house? Which room in your house represents God's house? Which side of your business represents God's house? You may not be able to build a house for God, but your tithe can represent God's house. Your seed can represent God's house. Your altar in your house where you pray can represent God's house. You must draw the presence of God into your home. You must draw the presence of God into your home, because the house cannot be occupied by two things. It is either God occupies or the devil occupies. And if you have not pulled God into the place, the devil is already rampaging your house. Are you in the church? And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. That is what would show him that this is really God's house. So become God conscious so that you can conquer your day. I said become God conscious so that you can conquer your day. Become God conscious so you can conquer your day. I want to conquer my day. The next one, chapter 30 verse 26. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. He's talking to Laban that I've served you enough. I want to go. Now give me my wives, my children. And Laban said to him, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes. For I have learned by experience. This one hit me hard. I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Or better still, it is because of you that I have been blessed. Because of you that I have been blessed. The point you must understand for this one is that let someone's blessing be because of you. Let someone's breakthrough be because of you. The man says that, don't leave. Please stay. Please stay. Please stay. Your landlord is sacking you because you are not the reason why he's blessed. Your employer wants to sack you because you are not the reason why he's blessed. Your pastor doesn't want to see you because you are not the reason why he's blessed. The community wants to throw you away because you are not the reason why the community is blessed. We must get to a point where people say these things about us. And his employer said to him, or his employee said to him, or his husband, or her husband said to him, or to her, or her son said to him, please don't go if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience, daddy, that it is because of you that the Lord has blessed me. If you were not in my life, I would not have seen all the blessings that I've seen. Your employer, Pastor Ebi, must look at you and say that, don't leave me. If you leave me, it will affect me so badly, because I have learned by experience that it's because of you that the Lord has blessed me. Your pastor should beg you that, don't leave me because I have learned. Your church members must beg you as a pastor that, pastor, please don't stop preaching to us. Don't stop praying for us, because we have learned by experience that it is your presence with us that has caused God to bless us. May that be your story, that your employer will not look at you and say, leave, but your employer will look at you and say, please, I don't want you to leave this business, because I have seen by experience, I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me because of you. It makes you more valuable. Let someone's blessing be connected to you. One day, I was talking to a father of mine long ago. And then he said that, I just spoke to 10 people. You may take your seat. I just spoke to 10 people that I am going to hit a very big contract very soon. When that contract comes, I'll buy a car for each of them. I said, how can you do that? He said, the contract that's coming is very big, so it is very possible. I said, but why would you tell them? He says that when they know that their blessing is connected to mine, they will pray for me a lot. Immediately, my father taught me wisdom. So there are times I tell people that I'm about to be blessed with A, B, and C. When it comes, I will sort you out. What have I done? I have got prayer warriors. Let people's blessing be connected to yours. Let people's blessing be connected to you. So the Laban, who was his employer and his uncle, was telling him that, brother, if I have found favor in your sight, the person who is paying you is saying that, if I have found favor, the person who has accommodated you, employed you, given you two wives, is saying that, if I have found favor, it can only be God. I said it can only be God. I can only be God. If I have found favor, may your employer tell you something like that. May your employees tell you something like that. May your church members tell you something like that. May your pastor tell you something like that. May your husband tell you something like that. That I have been blessed because of you. By you coming into my life. Yesterday, listen to me. Yesterday, I was telling my wife that, Mimi, how did you do it? She said, what? I said, how did you find me? She said, what do you mean? I said, by you coming into my life changed. And I have become a blessed man because you are in my life. But how did you find me? She said, how did you also find me? I said, maybe God just had a way of helping us. I came came to the realization that I am blessed because of her. Not just because of her, but she's one of the reasons why I'm blessed. May your husband look at you and say that I have learned by experience that I am blessed. My marriage is blessed. My business is blessed. The ministry is blessed because of you. May your wife look at you, the husband, and say that, my husband, I appreciate God because I have learned by experience that I am blessed because of you. Let nobody ever say to you, you are a bad luck woman. I remember a story that I heard. A man was in the hospital, lying on a hospital bed, and then his wife visited him. Then he started narrating his life and the marriage. Akosia said, Mira, said, do you remember that you have been with me for the past 5 years? She said, yes. Said, do you realize that the first year, fire almost burnt our house down, and you stood by me, and you were with me? She said, yes. Do you remember the second year, our firstborn almost drank poison, and so we had to rush him to the hospital, and you were by me? She said, yes. Third year, my mother almost died. You were with me and went to rescue her. Do you remember? She said, yes. Fourth year, that little boy who is living with us almost fell from the top of the building, and you were there, and we all caught him together. Do you remember? Said, yes. Then this fifth year, I had an accident whilst I was driving on the motorway, and you were with me. You accompanied me to the hospital. Do you remember? She said, yes. If you were the wife, what would you be thinking? My husband is so happy that all the problems that he went through, I was with him. Then at the fifth one, the husband said, you are a bad luck woman. You are the cause of all my problems. The first year, you were with me. Second year, you were with me. Third year, you are a bad luck woman. May that not be your story in the name of Jesus. When they say that story, may they say that I am grateful to God that you were in my life, because if you were not there, I could have died. Let someone's blessing, or be the reason for someone's blessing. It's easier that way. Be the reason for someone's blessing. Let someone say that I'm blessed because of you. I have built a house because of you. I started the business because of you. My marriage is intact because of you. My children are doing well because of you. My business is working well because of you. May your boss look at you and say that, don't leave, because since you came, everything has changed. It has become better. You have taken my headache from me. But don't become a headache, because people who become headaches can never conquer the day. You want to conquer the day? Become the reason for someone's blessing. Let someone go on his knees every day and pray and thank God. Thank you, Lord, for this person. Thank you, Lord, for this person. Keep him alive. Continue keeping him alive. Continue blessing him, because his presence in my life is being a blessing to me. I have people who say, all I hear from people a lot, God bless you. 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 And I like it. I like it, because I see myself as a reason for a lot of people's blessing. It's not by pride. It's by experience. It's not by pride. I have people who talk to me, who walk to me and say that, I wish I had met you earlier. I have many people like that. They tell, I wish I had met you earlier. And then they will tell the younger ones, you guys are blessed. I wish I had met this man earlier. And it's not something that they are just saying. They mean it, and I know it. They mean it, and I know it. Because look, you must become the reason for somebody's blessing. You want to conquer your day? Don't become a liability. Don't become a curse in somebody's life. Because what you sow, you reap. So if you become a blessing in somebody's life, guess what you are going to be reaping? You are reaping blessings everywhere you go. Somebody too will be raised somewhere who will be a blessing to you. That's life. It's a cycle. It's a cycle like this. It never cuts off. You give, you receive. You give, you receive. It's just like that. You are a blessing, you receive blessing. You are a blessing to somebody, you receive blessing. It's the cycle of the blessing. Become the reason for someone's blessing. So Laban is telling his son-in-law, I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. It's because of you that God blessed me. It's because of you that God blessed me. May someone say, I have been blessed because of you. I said, may someone say that he has been blessed because of you. Your employer must see that in you. Your employee must see that in you. Your neighbors who lives in an area, and that nobody in your area has ever felt blessed because you are there. By the grace of God, anywhere I have lived, by the time I'm leaving, the people there, I will definitely do something. One thing or the other. Either I will talk to you about life, I'll talk to you about marriage, I'll talk to you about Christianity, or I will bless you physically. Physically. End of year, I will carry rice, oil, give it to this one. Even those who don't talk to me. But we just carry it and give it to them. Carry it and give it. They say I'm a bad person, but I still give them the rice. And they take it. They'll take it. After all, I didn't manufacture the rice. Oh, so I mean, it's not a bad person's rice. It's a bad person who bought rice for me, but he didn't make the rice. So I give it to them. They take it, and then they'll say, God bless you. But still, they don't talk to you. It's very normal. Don't worry about whether they talk to you or they don't talk to you. No, don't worry. Just do what you have to do. It's God you are doing it for. It's God you are doing it for. It's God. One day they will see the hair. Akwawe, obetna hano yinshrao. That's how it is. Let somebody feel blessed because you were there. Let somebody know that as for Christmas, as long as this person is my neighbor, rice the menyebi. As long as this person is my neighbor, jollof that has been cooked, I will get some to eat. Even if they can't give me one bag of rice, they can give me a bowl of jollof and then one Coke or Fanta. Let someone feel that by this person moving into my area, my life has been blessed. Let somebody feel that by you coming to his life and inviting him to church, you have been a blessing to him. How many people can say that you have blessed their life? How many? And I'm not talking about financial. Just even the way you talk to them. Whose blessing is connected to you? Whose blessing are you the reason for? The last one, and I'm closing. The last one. Chapter 30, verse 29 and 30. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have saved you and how your livestock has been with me. 30. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. Pastor Prosper, the Lord has blessed you since my coming. Is it not a good thing for someone to say? And this time, it's the employee who is talking to the employer. Go to 29 again. You know how I have served. You know how I have served. Wherever the Lord takes you, serve well. Serve. Are you understanding me? 30, 29, serve. You know how I have served. So Jacob said to him, he's talking to Laban, you know how I have served you. You know how I have served you. If you haven't served well, you can't say such a thing. You know how I have served you. The last lesson that I want you to take home is this, that wherever God puts you, serve well. Life is all about service. 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 The people you serve will make a difference in your life. The people you don't serve will also make a difference in your life. Are you understanding me? If you are in this church and you are not serving, you are not harming me. You are harming you. Because wherever God sends you, it is service that would bring you up. It is service that will promote you. It is service that would bring honor. It is service that will elevate you. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you, and your livestock has been with me. And then he goes on to verse 30 and tells him the result. For what you had before I came was little. Can I say to you as a shepherd of this church that what you came to meet was little and now it has become much? For what you had, can you as a shepherd, can you as a pastor, can you as a deacon, can you as a minister say this? For what you had before I came was little. You, can you say to the church, what you had before I came was little and it has increased to a great amount? If you can't say that, you have failed. You can't say that to your employer, you have failed. You can't say that to your pastor, you have failed. You can't say that to the community, you have failed as a leader. What you had before I came was little. You can't say that as a leader of a country, you have failed. You can't say that to your community. You can't say that to your children. You can't say that to your employees. You can't say that to your employer. You are a failure. You must get to a point where you enter into people's life and you work and help them and support them and build them up to a point where you can say that what you had before I came was little and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. When will you also be able to say that to somebody? Stop always expecting somebody to say something like that to you. You too, serve well to be able to tell the person, I met you. When I met you, you had nothing. And I served you. And as I served you, God blessed you. As I served you, God promoted you. As I served you, God added unto you. And after I have served for so long, look at what the Lord has done. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. This is the employee talking to the employer. I'm telling you that one of the reasons why Jacob was able to conquer his day and have so much to divide in the night was because he served well. When will you serve well to be able to conquer your day? God gives you a business. You sleep throughout the day. And how can you serve while sleeping? God gives you a family. Instead of standing up in the night, praying for them, in the day, guiding and coaching them, in the afternoon, directing them and telling them what to do, you sleep through the night, you sleep through the day, you never have any contact with them, and you are saying that what? It will never amount to much in their life if you don't start serving the children that God has given you. Serve them. Serve the family. Serve the business. Serve the people. Serve your clients. Serve them. Understand, it is service that promotes. It is service that promotes. Nothing promotes better than service. Oh, when you serve well, you don't have to even tell anybody. You don't have to apply for promotion. When you serve well, I was telling the people in the first service that there's a difference between salary, bonus, allowance, and rewards. I said, my God, if you seek him well, those who diligently seek him, he rewards. He's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And I was saying that there's a difference between reward and salary. Some of our Christian brothers and sisters, they are working for salary in the kingdom of God. Some too, they are working diligently for a reward. Salary is different from reward. Salary, you chop it once, it's gone. Allowance is not much. Bonus even is not much. But reward. Reward makes you a partner. Reward makes you a partner of what God is doing. And God's kingdom is always ascending. So as you are a partner to God's kingdom, you ascend as he ascends. Are you understanding what I'm saying at all? Get to the point where somebody will look at you and say that you have blessed my life. You have added to it. When you came, I had nothing. When you came, my house was small. When you came, my business was small. When you came, the church was small. But by you coming in, the church has increased. Branches have started. Departments have started. People are doing well. People are marrying. Church is doing great. The ministry is getting better. The choir is strong. Instrumental is strong. Usher is strong. Everything is getting better. This is what the man was telling Laban. For what you had before I came was little. What you had before I came was little. What you had before I came into your life was little. There are some people, I can say that boldly to them. What you had before I came into your life was little. I am praying that you too will be able to say that to me as a pastor. That, pastor, what you had before I came into your life was little. There are some people, they can tell me that in the business. There are some people, they can tell me that in the ministry. There are someone who can tell me that in marriage. There are some fathers, they can tell me that in the ministry. That when I came to you, you were little. You had nothing. And it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. All you need to do, serve. I said what? Serve. Serve. Serve well wherever you find yourself. My last verse, chapter 31, verse 6. 31, verse 6. My last verse, and I'm closing. And you know that with all my might, I have served your father. So he's now talking to his wife or his wives. And you know that with all my might, I have served your father. With all my might, I have served your father. Can you say that? I serve with all my might. I have served with all my might. I have served with all part of my might. May God give you the strength to serve with all your might. And you know that with all. And so there were witnesses. You know that with all my might, I have served your father. Go to verse 7. In spite of the fact that your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Your father deceived me. So the fact that the person is deceiving you does not mean you must also be Akpache. Akpache is a thief. Akpache is somebody who is the father of Akpa, Nobiso. The father of Sweven, Akpache. Oh, Pastor Ebi, you be the guy. Akpache. The father of Akpa. Yet, your father has Akpachelized me and changed my wages 10 times. But you see, because I served with my strength and with all that I had, he says, but God did not allow him to hurt me. So you do your part. Serve as much as you can with all your might. Seek him as diligently as you can. Forget about what the man will say or what the man will not say. Forget about what the man will do or will not do. Just connect your attention and your focus on God and do what he has called you to do. And leave the rest with him. God did not allow him to hurt me, and God will not allow anyone to hurt you in the name of Jesus. As long as you are serving well and you are serving God, nobody will be able to hurt you. And you will conquer your day in Jesus' name. Put your hands together for the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Emmanuel Methel. We hope you were blessed by the message. Worship with us at the Rohi Church in Community 22, Tema. Every Sunday from 7:30 to 9:30 for the tree service and 10:30 to 12:30 for the English service. We have Bible studies from 9:45 to 10:30 a.m. Tuesday empowerment service is from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. Download the Rohi Church app on Google Play and App Store for more life-transforming messages. Follow Pastor Emmanuel Methel and the Rohi Church on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Call us on 0204-336-002 for counseling and inquiries. Rohi Church, loving God, making disciples, and invading globally. God bless you. This message is brought to you by Hot Jobs Africa Limited, Ghana's number one HR firm. Looking for quality staff? Looking for a job? Contact us on 0204-336-009. Think HR, think Hot Jobs Africa.